The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world, George's Box.
Welcome back to George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Nick.
And you know, we're Yankee fans. Now, normally Nick organizes the agenda. Nick just told me the agenda. But I'm going to cut you off and ask you a question first, Nick. Was, as we're recording this at 4:30, unless you're my boss, on Monday. Otherwise, it's probably 6:30. I've been working so hard. Was yesterday the biggest game of the season?
It was supposed to be.
How?
Yeah.
How?
Because you had a chance to cap off a winning week and win a four-game series against Houston. I think that would have been their first winning week in, what, 6 weeks?
But that doesn't matter if you've already lost the biggest game of the season the Sunday before. You can't just, like last Saturday was the biggest game of the season. And when I was there, I said, and it's just, like, it's a must-win to get to another must-win, which they didn't win. And then they lost the trade deadline, like just absolutely lost that, the biggest loser of the trade deadline. So it's just like, I just don't see how, because we agree on a lot of things, but like as a fan base, you go, all right, we're here against Baltimore. Judge is back. We lost that first game. We won the second game. We sat Judge. We lost. Like that Sunday was the like, let's fucking turn it on and show that we deserve to have players traded for, you know, traded here and all that fun stuff. You lose that game. You lose the next game against the Rays. You lose the trade deadline at 6. You lose the game at 7. Then you steal one there. And maybe you're going to split a series against a made up rival in a different division who is 7 games ahead of us or whatever it is. It's just not like yesterday was not the biggest game of the year. It was just,
I thought
like,
the chance to take
go,
three
go.
To four from Houston. I thought the chance to take 3-4 from Houston was good. I thought it would have given us some good momentum. And to me, look, I know I'm grasping.
The momentum would have been 3.5 games out of a playoff spot still and only 11 games out of
instead of 4.5. Yeah, which is kind of a big swing. 3.5 looks a lot better than 4.5.
When they put the two little dashes next to your name because everyone's behind you is the best luck.
That's true. That's the best one. I thought it, and obviously we'll get to Rodon when we kind of go through the games. Sunday was easily the biggest start of his career as a Yankee. I mean, not even relatively close. But let's take a step back and just start with what maybe was the craziest.
Can we just address real quick how shitty it is if your sixth start is the biggest start of your career? Like,
oh yeah, it would have been nice if he was here in April.
It is like all over. Like your sixth start for the team is your biggest start, and you weren't a trade deadline acquisition. Like, it's not like, oh well, we got to your sixth start and it's the end of August, because you already started 20 games for someone else.
Yeah, no, that is a sad fact. Really sad on Rodon. He was really disappointing. But we'll start with Hermann. So let's start with the Hermann timeline. So I think it was last Monday, he's got an armpit injury. He's not healthy enough to start.
We're recording right before the armpit injury last week.
Right. Yes. We missed that. We didn't record. Right. He wasn't healthy enough to start.
Like, it had come out. I think we talked about it on the podcast that, like, oh, he's got an armpit injury. Who knows what that is?
Right. But we didn't know the full story yet.
Yeah.
Not healthy enough to start, healthy enough to come in and throw 5 shutout innings in relief, which apparently looks like will be the last pitches he throws as a Yankee, because on Tuesday he came into the clubhouse wasted.
So even before that, the armpit thing happens, right?
Yeah.
He's in the clubhouse because of this move. Marinaccio has to get sent down.
This is Monday, yeah.
Yeah. And he's blasting music and dancing and cracking jokes, apparently, about the fact that Marinaccio has to go down. So,
great teammate.
In general, like, piece of shit. Like, you know, and I have said with the domestic violence thing, like, hey, if the guy, you know, if he fucked up and she decides to apologize to him and he does the right things off the field, which for the most part, you know, we haven't heard any off the field things. He sucks at baseball. Like, I think he shouldn't be a Yankee because he sucks at baseball for the longest time. But when a guy is going back and forth between the majors and the minors, you know the difference between being a major league pitcher and a minor league pitcher. And he's doing it because you didn't show up prepared. Like, you're a fucking asshole because you came up lame, but, like, not lame enough to go on the IL. And that's even before he pitches later that day, like a complete fucking asshole.
Yeah, no, it's almost hard to I'm looking at the notes here for the show and I can't even really believe what I'm saying. But yeah, so Monday he was a complete shitbag to Marinaccio. Probably I think, you know, one of the worst things you can do to a teammate. So I guess it was Tuesday where he showed up at whatever 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, absolutely shit faced. He broke a TV, was yelling at Boone. Our genius doctors decided it would be a good idea to lock him in the sauna. To sweat the alcohol out. As a guy that goes to the sauna at the Knack, you're not allowed to go in if you've been drinking. That's like the worst thing you can do.
It is like, you know, do you think they have, like, when you go to the Knack, and you didn't go to the white party at the Knack this weekend, did you?
I did not, no.
I know people who Knack.
I'm not in the social scene like that. I just go and work out.
I get you an invite. You go at the Knack, any gym you go to, resort, whatever, there's the sign that says, like, don't bring your kids in here, don't bring your dog in here, don't bring your phone in here, don't come in here drunk. Do you think they have any sign like that at Yankee Stadium? Like, do they
No.
have, like, for a regulatory, or is it just like, I don't know, we're all fucking adults here, like, you can do whatever you want, because no one's going to be drunk here anyway, because it's work.
That would be the hope, but that's like something that you would hear maybe in the 30s or the 40s. It's like, oh, drink milk if you're hungover, like, or to sober up. Like, that's something you'd see on, like, Mad Men, you know, in the 50s or something. Like, yo, it's 2023, but it doesn't surprise me at all, knowing everything that our doctors have done. We'll get to Rizzo, that they thought the best idea was to lock our drunk, abusive pitcher in a sauna. That was their game plan. And I guess after that, they decided to lock him in what's called the nap room, which is, I guess, like the timeout, or where players take naps.
Yeah, they have, like, all the teams have, like, kind of like a blacked out room with, like, nap pods so people can, like, a lot of guys like to. I've never understood how professional athletes can, like, some guys like to come in, like a pitcher will be like, I like to come in, I like to lift, I'll do a long toss, and then I'll go. I'll eat a peanut butter and jelly, then I nap for 43 minutes, and then I get up and I pitch in a major league game. Like, I've not, like, basketball players go to shoot around, then they go home, they take a nap for like 2 hours. I have no idea how you do that. Maybe it's part of being an elite athlete, is like that moment doesn't keep you fucking amped up.
Yeah, maybe that's a good, like, point.
I couldn't imagine going to a 7 o'clock game and catching a nap at any point in the day, knowing that I'm even just going to a game, I'm too excited to sleep.
I'll take it a step further. If I was pitching in a major league game for the Yankees on a fucking Wednesday, I don't think I would sleep the Tuesday night before. Like, I'd be so fired up.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So that was that. And then Boone, despite the fact that you know, Hermann yelled at him, shitted on a teammate, broke things in the clubhouse. Boone said he's quote unquote a sweetheart of a guy, Domingo Hermann. And again, it's just typical Boone, like not being able to own up to anything and covering for his players. Kind of thought that was weak. He's going to rehab or he's in rehab. I doubt we'll see him pitch for the Yankees again, but you know how they are with sticking by these guys. So who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I think when you look at it, right? So he's not great at baseball anymore. Right. Right. He had that one good, like 2019, he was huge for us until the going gets tough. And with, you know, 3 weeks left in the season, when we're thinking like, this is it, we're going to be on a collision course with the Astros again. This is when we get it. We lose essentially our ace for that season. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2020. All right. We went out. We got Cole. He's not available at all because he's suspended for the whole season.
Yeah.
21, 22, he's around. And now 23, he isn't able to finish three of the last five seasons.
Yeah. And if you remember 2020, he also had a cryptic Instagram post where he said, like, goodbye, everybody, I'm retiring. Some people thought, yeah, people were concerned after he, like, the guy is clearly emotionally unstable. And my issue here is, like, Cashman, when he passed on both Harper and Machado, he kind of hinted at them being distractions. You know, Machado doesn't always hustle to first base. Harper's kind of selfish and a me guy. And, you know, we need to keep the clubhouse clean. So to say that and then to stick by a guy that's basically just been a complete scumbag for his entire tenure that's been here and hasn't even been that good is very irritating to me.
It's really irritating. There's also, like, in that timeline is this all came out on Wednesday, right? So we went through the game Tuesday not knowing about this. And so Tuesday is the trade deadline. We don't do anything. Wednesday, Boone is on John Boy. And they ask, like, hey, was this a showcase? You know, like, what's going on? Are we showcasing Brito? Those interviews have gotten really funny because, like, those guys are being fans, which I love. I really appreciate, yeah, like, awesome. How they're handling it and not shying away from how we feel. And just Jake calling Aaron Boone Pop. Like, how am I supposed to feel? Pop is funny. But Boone says everything is above water. It's exactly what we said it was. At that point, he is answering the question that, yes, he was, you know, Monday was not because of a showcase. It was because his armpit hurt and whatever. But it totally ignoring the fact that the guy that we're asking questions about right now is in rehab. Like,
yeah, he was omitting the truth. He technically wasn't lying, but he was omitting key information, right? It's like the asshole quotient. Like, if Aaron Judge hits 50 home runs and walks around and acts like an asshole, I don't care because he hits 50 home runs. But when you're Domingo fucking Hermann, you're not good enough. Your talent does not warrant that quotient for me. It's very basic.
Yes. And I don't know if – I think there are certain times where you have to draw a line in the sand. Like, as fans, we do it. It's a different line for the manager. I think that would have been a fine time for Boone to just say – and, like, maybe he would have been out over his skis. Maybe he's not, you know, authorized to say it. But they should have let him break the news on John Boy. They should have let Aaron Boone not look like an asshole because we already don't trust him. Now we trust him even less. So, and I don't think the team would have been, like, the players would have been like, well, now we can't trust Aaron Boone. Like, how am I going to know he's going to defend me if I start smashing up the locker room? He's only defended me for batting 170 for the last 3 years.
Yeah. Dude, Boone has to ask permission to, like, take a piss. He would never break something like that on a podcast without Cash's permission. He doesn't have permission to do anything.
To a certain extent, if I'm Aaron Boone, I'm hoping to get fired. Go back to California for a couple of years. You get your contract paid out. This is a fucking disaster area. And then, like, maybe someone else gives you another managerial shot if you want one.
Yeah, go manage the Angels or something in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Go to some USC football games, hang out on the sidelines, dap some players up. I can totally see him doing that. And as you mentioned last week, where is 9-9? Where is the captain? This is the exact type of situation that a captain is supposed to, I don't know, step in, say something, do something. Have not heard from him. It's fine if Boone wants to be a pussy and call Hermann a sweetheart of a guy, not step up. Where is my 6'7", 300-pound superhero captain to step in and say, this is unacceptable, this is not what we're about, and he's done, he's gone.
Or now, like,
something.
With the Jeter doc, remember they had that, like, whatever, the nine-part or whatever it was, Jeter thing.
Yeah.
They said he was the master of saying so much and telling you nothing. Like, so when things were going bad, like, he would step up as the captain, and he'd be there, and he'd stand there, and he'd talk, and he'd say a lot of words, but he'd be there. I just feel like I haven't seen Aaron Judge on anything.
Nothing.
Does he have media availability? Does he talk after the games?
I don't know. And look, he's gutting it out on the toe. Cool, but you need to say something. When there's
12,
this many
0 for 12 against the Astros isn't gutting it out. That's showing up. You might as well buy a ticket and sit in the stands.
He did about as much as me sitting in 312.
Yeah,
he's standing 0 for 6 on Sunday.
He's like a 0.69 batting average against the Astros career.
Is that true?
I think I saw that.
Oh God, that is painful, but that makes sense. I remember he got some hits against them in the 2017 ALCS, but at this point, it's so fucking long ago. And who cares? But again, yeah, where is he? He had a terrible series. We gotta do Rizzo next, though. And you always talk about organizational chaos. This is a classic.
I had tweeted that morning, how are the Yankees going to embarrass the fan base?
Yes,
today?
Yeah,
thinking. Hopefully they don't, and they did.
Yeah, no, you kind of called that there. So this was actually the day after that me and you went. So Memorial Day weekend, me and you and a bunch of other guys and my wife, we went to the Saturday Padres game. Yankees walked off Severino pitched. Then the next day, Sunday, that series finale, that rubber game, Rizzo has the collision with Tatis. He stumbles. He wobbles after he gets hit in the head. He does sit down. So that was a Sunday, and he did not play till the next Friday. So they did give him 4 games off, but they cleared him of all concussion whatever. Then for the next 2 months, he was essentially the worst player in baseball. Hit something like 160 with one home run. Absolute joke and terrible. The entire time, Boone is arrogantly and confidently telling John Boy, telling the beat writers, telling anybody who'll listen, he's Anthony Rizzo. He's healthy. We've done all the tests. He's fine. And so I guess this past Thursday, he's placed on the IL with post-concussion syndrome. I do not think he'll play again this year. Yankee doctors, fuck up again.
So I just want to correct career 182 against the Astros. It might be after 2017 mm-hmm. that it's fucking awful. So Rizzo, there's so much blame to go around, including Rizzo.
Yes.
Like, cause it's not like, hey, I thought even like, hey, I thought I was gutting out a hamstring and then like it popped, you know, like it was straining and it popped, whatever. He has said, I was having a hard time getting up every day. I'm waking up every day. I feel like I'm hungover, but I haven't drank. Like, you got to do something. And then I get, like, they said he took the, like, he was in the concussion protocol, like, that day, passed everything fine. But now I'm hearing there were other tests that have happened since then, and his reaction time was, like, incredibly slow. Like, worse than a normal person, and he's supposed to be, like, a superior athlete. So the fact that, like, he's going through this fucking slump and not piecing together that, like, I don't know, I wake up and I feel like dog shit every day. I got, you know, hit. And maybe it's not, you know, I can maybe see not piecing together like, oh, I have a concussion from that thing. It's tough to see that. But, like, let's stretch, you know, I watch wrestling. I can suspend disbelief. How do you not say anything for 2 months showing up every fucking day? And it's not like you said, he missed time. Like, so it's not like it was like, oh, well, he played the next day and it just, you know, the batting average just got worse. Like, he clearly missed time, came back, wasn't himself. For him to not realize to say anything is irresponsible. I really want to blame the Yankees for, like, not picking up on it, but you do kind of need, like, there's not an x-ray you can do unless there is, like, if there were tests where his reaction time was slow, then, like, it is, like, medically negligent of the Yankees to continue to let him play.
It is, and they did play him for two games after he complained of dizziness, whatever it was, Sunday night in Baltimore or a week ago at home against Tampa. They continued to play him. And, I mean, yeah, I blame the Yankees a lot more than Rizzo. As an athlete, you're taught to tough it out, gut it out, not say anything, which is what he did. Now, I do agree with you. There's, you know, sometimes you get to a point where gutting it out, you're starting to hurt the team, which he did. But to me, it's on the Yankees have all these doctors and trainers and psychologists and evaluators. It's on them to pick up on something. They have all the metrics. They're watching. I mean, we're fucking fans and Yankees Twitter is watching him whiff on 91 mile an hour fastballs. He's missing the ball by feet. Everybody can tell that something's up. And we didn't know what, but all of us could tell. And then you have Boone Smugly saying he's healthy. And it's just another example of the Yankees being arrogant about something, stubborn about something, and then they are wrong, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Really frustrating. And like people are like, oh, when's he going to come back? You think we do?
I'd be surprised.
Oh, no, I agree with you. Because remember, he got a week off when it happened. He got a week off of the All-Star break and still didn't get right. Maybe best case scenario, you see him in mid-September. It sucks, and it's like kind of a bad break, but it's a bad break that we then handled poorly. So you can't just blame bad luck.
Yeah, and I think if we do see him again this year, it's going to be almost like a pride thing of like with 2 weeks left in the season, like I want to do it. To do it so that I know I'm coming into spring training without this question mark.
Yeah.
But what are we, 2 years, 3 years from Clint Frazier? And like all of his post-concussions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like his career's never been the same after that.
No. Nope. And Bowers has been okay filling in, but it's more about the like principle of this whole situation. It's really, really ugly to not pick up on it for 2 months. Rizzo's a good guy, and I hope he gets right, but just a frustrating situation for us. All right, so let's jump in to this Astros series. So they win Wednesday night. You're like, all right, that's a win. That's, you know, I'm not miserable going to bed for once, which was kind of nice. Thursday, gritty win at home in a game they kind of had to have. They win 4-3, gets really tight. Holmes gets Altuve as the go-ahead run in the ninth. You're feeling pretty good. And then Friday, Severino, who has just become an automatic loss. His ERA, I think, is up to 8. He has them out of every start in the first inning. The game's over. He continues to get starts. And when you just think about like what we were saying about him in 2017, like this is our next ace. This guy's fiery. He's a bulldog. He was an ace. He was a 2-time All-Star. And now he's basically the worst pitcher in the majors. His downfall has been tough to watch.
Yeah, and even when you see, you know, he comes out of the game and he's not going to the clubhouse. He's going to sit in the corner in the dugout. Like he's sitting there. He's kind of wearing it by like staying out there with the team. Guys are trying to console him. There's no consoling what the fuck just happened. Like you're getting crushed. You're really bad at baseball. And, you know, it is one of those things. Like, I don't think his career's over. I think no matter what happens with the rest of this season, like someone will give him an opportunity next year.
Maybe a 1-year deal, but I don't think anybody's going to be. Oh,
yeah, okay. No. But even, like he went from like, all right, well, this guy, if he has even like a mediocre year, may get like 3 years, $60 million, you know, to now he's going to get like 1 year, $4 million.
Yeah, it's one of the worst contract years I've ever seen.
Yeah,
ever. And I don't know. I mean, he's still throwing. He's still sitting 97, 98 sometimes, like the stuff. I sound like Boone, that the stuff actually does look pretty nasty, but he just gets bombed every time. I don't know.
There's something wrong. Like at this point, there's no confidence in the ball his hand.
No.
And it like maybe there's a change of scenery. You know, I don't think it's the coaching staff on this one. Like I don't think it's Matt Blake. He's done so much good. Like, and maybe it is. Maybe someone else can unlock something in him, but. Yeah, I mean it's been a tough one to watch because it was him, Judge, Glaber, Gary. Gary's killing it on the Padres. Judge is injured for $1 billion. Glaber hit or miss was a great, you know, thing we could have traded and didn't. And this, like missing on all cylinders.
Yeah, the development has been terrible. You can throw Greg Bird and a couple other guys in there if you really want to.
Forgot he existed.
Yeah, no, seriously, I could see you googling him now. And yeah, just really, Really tough.
Free agent.
I feel like he loves fishing. I could see he's like a Colorado guy. I could just see him kind of like living alone in like a cabin.
I didn't realize he never made it to the majors with any other team.
Was he with the Rockies for a little?
So in 2020, he signed with the Rangers. Then on the 31st of July, he was recalled to the Rangers, and he got injured before he could play in a game and got designated for assignment without ever playing a game.
He had like chronic feet, like his feet were, it was always his feet.
Yeah, he signed with the Phillies as a minor league contract at the end of 2020, didn't make it. Did spring training and 2021 with the Rockies, Blue Jays. He 2022 opt out. We signed him, I guess. And yeah, he was released middle of the year last year and hasn't done anything since.
Yeah, well, there he is, and there went Friday night as Seve killed us. Saturday, you beat Verlander. Somehow, you scored 3 runs. Nestor looked fucking great. There's something positive. Nestor came back. About 2 months too late, but he looked really good.
For 4 innings.
Yeah.
Like,
and Boone uses all the high leverage relievers, so we'll get to that. Remember that.
So, like, you know, I obviously liked what I saw out of Nestor rather than, you know, Seve. But again, let's see what happens when the lineup sees him all the way through a second time or possibly a third time. That's been the issue for him.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, okay. So I'm just getting this now as of 4:44 p.m. The Yankees have recalled Jonathan Loaisiga from the 60-day IL. They have placed Carlos Rodon on the 15-day injured list with a left hamstring strain and recalled Nick Ramirez and designated Davey Garcia for assignment. So lot to unpack there. But to me, it looked like, I mean, maybe he does have a mild hamstring strain. But for me, who had a pretty good view of everything live and in person on Sunday, it looked like he just quit. He let up the 3-run homer. He let up a single, and he was like, you know what? I'm going home. That's what it looked like to me.
And I mean, that's what it looked like on TV. And then he, you know, said, you know, this is, you know, it's not an issue. This was precautionary, which made it feel like he quit on us.
Yeah.
But then it's not precautionary because you're on the IL.
Right. I can't and think of a bigger disappointment.
He's a hamstring. It's a hamstring. He's a big guy. Like, the back's just going to be a problem for forever.
Yeah.
Now a hamstring. His season's over.
Oh, easily. Because remember that when he comes back, he's going to have to build back up in the month. You know, the minor leagues, I think the minor leagues end in a month. We probably won't see him again. I can't remember a more disappointing first year of any free agent we've ever brought in. At any level, I think his ERA is over 6. They gave him $162 million. And the weird thing for me is, like, he has been the opposite of what he was advertised. We talk about, oh, he's the bulldog. He's a warrior. He handles adversity. He's tough. He's been an injury-prone bitch that doesn't want to take the mound and that sucks when he does take the mound. That seems not built for the moment at all.
Yeah. So it was like, yeah, it's just the exact opposite of what was advertised. Between the way he went out, like, the look of the way he went out was so bad. They blew the kiss 2 games ago. Like, it's just such a shitty first year of a contract. And, like, we've got 5 more years of it. And you hope that he turns it around and figures it out. Maybe there's something he's got to do in the offseason, whatever the case may be. Like, when he does, you know, starting the offseason, being in an organization rather than, you know, not signing for, like, a couple of months and then – who knows? Maybe that gives him a regular spring training and he figures it out. But, like, it's so depressing. There is, like, no good thing to look at with this team right now besides Cole.
Yeah, it's crazy how bad he's been. And you think about it, like, he gives them an F yesterday. If he shows up with, like, a D or a C, they probably win. I mean, the offense scored 7 runs and he gives you a 2-inning, 5-run start. It really, really couldn't have gone any worse. And it's like, you know, I think I tweeted this, his whole stick, like the beer belly and the mustache thing doesn't work when you're getting lit up. You know, like, it's okay to look like a goofball, like weirdo if you're great, but like his stick is just not working for me at all.
No, not like, it's not even close to working. And it, to a certain extent, like Seve fucking sucks, but at least it seems like it's bothering him that he sucks.
Yes, yes.
Whereas Rodon is like, you guys are lucky I came here for the most part.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Like, God, not how bad has it gotten if we're comparing him positively to Seve?
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing that he's like contributed, like as fans, like, I don't know. I've been here since 1985. You've been here for fucking 3 months and you're being a fucking dickhead to everyone like me who's been around. And you don't seem to give a fuck and your wife won't stop tweeting.
Yeah, that's the worst part. It seems like he doesn't care. I guess we probably won't see him for a while again. And just another, and again, like you go back, the Sonny Grays, the Paxtons, the Montas, the Javier Vazquez's, the Kevin Browns, like you go through the years. And it's truly remarkable that just by dumb luck, you'd think one of them would hit. Like you'd think one of them would work. And let's subtract the CC and Cole doesn't count because you just found the best guy and gave him the most money.
You gave
like,
the best guy the most money in the largest media market. I can do that.
Yeah. But like none of these other guys, like not a single one has panned out. It's almost, I guess Mussina was the last, maybe was the last one pitcher.
The best guy available who they gave the most money to.
Yeah, I guess
Brian
I don't even
Cashman
remember that offseason.
Is so fucking bad at his job. I know. Like so, and because like nothing works. Nothing works. Unless it's the most obvious, best guy, most money, nothing works.
Frustrating, and you know they're gonna say like, and this is why I hate when it's like, oh, once Nestor gets back, well, guess what? The day Nestor gets back, Rodon is gone, and the day why is like they're never, and people you see people do, this is what my lineup would be when they're fully healthy. They're never fully healthy because by the time player A gets back, player B goes back on the IL. Very irritating.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you know, we want to get rid of, you know, Seve from the rotation. We like straight up need bodies. Like we just signed a guy who has been shitty in AAA and hasn't pitched in the major league since 2018 because he opted out of his deal with the Diamondbacks. I don't even remember his name. I made like a fucking quote tweet joke. I wouldn't be surprised if we see this guy get a major league start just because we need bodies at this point to just get through the season.
Yeah, no, they're desperate. It's funny, like, oh, going into the season, like, we might have the best rotation we've ever had, and it's really been a disaster other than Cole. I did want to bring up one really kind of in-the-weeds play from Sunday that I think kind of sums up a lot of our problems. So sitting at the game, it was either the – I think it was the third inning. Jose Altuve squares around a bunt. DJ's playing, like, preventing a double. Like, he's playing way behind the bag at third, right? Altuve squares around a bunt, and I think he took it for a ball. DJ just stays in the same spot, very deep. Altuve squares around again, bunts it right down the line. DJ has no shot to throw him out. And to me, that was a clear example of, I think Rojas is the infield instructor or somebody. If a guy squares around a bunt, you give your third baseman a hey, move in a little bit. They did nothing. He bunts it for a hit, and then he tags up and goes to second on a sac fly. And it's like, I feel like those little things, and I actually wrote that down when I was at the game because I feel like when people say, oh, what do you want the manager to do or what do you want coaches to do? Like that. I want them to position the players correctly.
Yeah.
If you see a guy square around a bunt.
Yeah. I mean, it's that's a failure on the coaching staff. It's a failure on DJ for like not recognizing it and adjusting. But like at the same time, it's like that.
Instance. I know. It's, like it's a little. Thing.
No, no. Yeah. That's how bad it is that obvious like little league shit.
Yeah.
It's as if these guys don't know how to play baseball.
And it is.
Coaching is just giving a pep talk before the game.
I think they stand where the computers tell them to stand. But like, how's Jose Altuve doesn't give a fuck what our computer's saying. You know, it's like, dude, like you said in Little League, oh, he's squaring around. Watch the bunt. Like, this is very this is painfully basic stuff that the New York Yankees are missing.
It's infuriating. But there's no discipline. I mean, that's how you end up like. By not benching, not pulling Glaber for any of the stunts he's pulled, not pulling guys for, you know, trying to go second to third on ground balls to their right, by not, you know, positioning your guys, you know, getting them in the right position, by not for years, like not coming down on guys who don't show up on time for games or do whatever the fuck they want. that's how you end up with an alcoholic smashing up your fucking clubhouse. Because there is something that, and I get it, like I've not dealt with substance abuse, so, you know, maybe it's different. But there's something that even in like him being fucked up, that was just like, no, it's okay that I can show up like this.
Oh, 100%. He figured he'd be okay. And but, Boone covered for him.
Yeah. Like, who gives a fuck? You know, no one's going to care.
Boone's like the substitute teacher almost. Like, they just know they can go in and kind of like do whatever they want.
Yeah. They're
not going to get in trouble.
Oh, great. Yeah. Can I go to the bathroom? Fucking 20 minutes walking around the school, hanging out with your friends.
Oh, man. Those were the days. And look, Alex Cora benched Verdugo. This, and I know the Red Sox are worse than us, but just as an example, Verdugo showed up later, didn't do something. Cora benched him, and he said, you know, this was unacceptable. He said it to the media. We have to be better. If Boone would just say something like that one time, you know, I think everybody would give him a little bit of slack, but it's the denial. It's the we're okay.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Did you see the Bader quote?
Well, wait. No, first, I wanted to go back to the Cora.
Okay,
I had that on my list of like.
Gotcha. Oh, okay, cool.
That's
cool.
One of the things that we run into is Cora and Kevin Cash, right? Everyone wants to make it that like, you know, the Astros are our rival because we've ended up playing them like far in the playoffs. Our rivals are in our division because that's how you get to the playoffs. And we've run into these guys in the playoffs and gotten our asses kicked because we try to pull like little stunts. Those guys are very good, very smart managers. And Boone is always trying to be like, you know, the smartest guy in the room or like outsmart them. That Cora press conference was, we've got on one side Aaron Boone on with fans. Jimmy and Jake are fans who have now, you know, worked their way into media and joking around with them and rolling his eyes at the questions, right? Knowing full well he's talking about a thing while the guy they're talking about is in rehab. Cora is asked, and he goes, not everyone showed up today. Well, you know how you cup hasn't happened before. Has, you know, we got to be there. We got to show up for each other. Very like matter of fact. And said, it's a failure. He said, it's a failure by me as a manager. I have to be better. My job is to make sure that everyone's available and everyone wasn't available today. Complete ownership, not talking like he's joking around with the boys, not hoping that, hey, at the end of this, like maybe I'll ask how everyone in the media is doing on Immaculate Grid. And that is like Aaron Boone's just not a serious manager at this point.
No. Yeah, that was perfectly said. And it would be so it probably wouldn't change anything, but it would be so satisfying to hear anything like that. And I used to hate Cora, but to be honest, I kind of respect him now. And it's funny because Boone, the only people that Boone holds accountable are the umpires. Like, players can do whatever they want. He doesn't hold himself accountable to coaches. Umpires miss a couple calls. He goes out. He throws his gum. He does his tough guy thing. He only holds the umpires accountable and doesn't hold anybody else accountable, essentially.
But he holds – every time he holds the umpires accountable, and most of the time I agree with what he's doing, but, like, holding the umpires accountable gets him a half a day off.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Like, he only does the thing that also gets him half the day off.
Yeah. No. Weird. Also, just a weird game to be at Sunday. I think they had either 10 or 12 walks. Just a weird game. It was like a throwback because it went 3.5 hours. We had two instances this weekend. Stanton couldn't score from second on a single with two outs, and then DJ couldn't score from second. If you can't score from second base and you're running on contact in the major leagues, I'm sorry, you shouldn't be playing. On a long single into the gap for both of those guys, LeMahieu and Stanton.
Guaranteed contracts. It's the beauty of the game. You know, like, who walks it? You don't walk away from that. You don't retire, because as long as you say, hey, I'm willing to be there, they got to pay you until they don't have to pay you anymore. Yeah, I mean, the Stanton one was so embarrassing.
It looked like he was trying to get thrown out.
It was the offensive version of the Gary Sanchez play at the plate against the Mets.
Yes.
Like, because when he rounds third, the ball is not even in the outfielder's glove yet. And then it's as if he's watching, like, you can see that play's in front of you. And there is just no, there was no next gear from first gear. And he really just kind of put it in cruise control. Like, there, it was so embarrassing because we had just talked about, like, how can you be so unathletic at that size, at that salary, in a major league uniform, at that age?
It's completely befuddling. It looked like he was trying to, like, he actively slowed down. I've never seen anything like it. Like, he slowed down and then didn't slide. It looked like some sort of prank or, like, blooper reel. Like, it didn't look real.
It looked like there's just a point. I mean, obviously, we don't play in the major leagues. We haven't played competitive baseball in forever. You know, we've played softball. Softball, a lot of jogging. Yeah. And there are times when you're like, you're not giving it your all. Maybe not you. You're probably giving it your all the time. But you're not giving your all. You're around there and you're like, ah, shit, this is going to be a play. So, like, let me, you know, you put a little extra in it. You slide in. You're safe. You're like, fuck, I slid it softball. This was pointless. And he just went like, I don't want him to tag me too hard, so I'll just stop. And then also when he stopped, I thought his knee buckled at first.
Yeah, it looked really ugly. That's just like that would be a 101 on how not to run the bases. Like, if I was showing, you know, a young kid how to not run the bases, it would be that. And like DJ, I don't know if it's his foot or if he's just too old and too slow. But again, Sunday, I forget who hit it, single in the gap with two outs. Definitely looked like any normal infielder should score fairly easily, and he doesn't even try. Rojas holds him up. That was frustrating. Like, all those, we had multiple bases loaded singles on Sunday where we only got one run. And I feel like, maybe this is just my, you know, perception, when teams get bases loaded singles against us, it's always two runs or scoring. Yeah. Always. That was frustrating. So the Bader, did you have the Bader comments written down, or have you seen those?
I have seen them. I mean, what he said is a stretch if they tied that game and lost still. You got within two from being down like six. Like, you lost in a little bit of a less embarrassing fashion, but then you said this shit and now it's even more embarrassing again.
Yeah, and I think it comes from the manager. And let's keep in mind the context here. What was it? Four of the runs they scored were on bases loaded walks or hit by pitches. It's not like they hit their way back into the game. I've never seen, like, it was like a carousel, a merry-go-round of bases loaded walks. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Blown opportunity. I mean, an Angel Hernandez fucking sucks. It should be illegal to murder him for one fan.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And it helped us out. I looked at the umpire report card or whatever. He helped us out a lot. It shouldn't have even been that close.
Yeah, but like, it's just like some of the call, you could tell by the end of the game, like, even the players and coaches are just like, whatever. Like, this is what it is, you know? Like, when you go to Tampa, you might lose a ball in the roof. when Angel's behind the plate, this is going to suck.
Yeah, they didn't. Neither side was arguing, the least that I could see, and I had a pretty good view. We could nitpick at like different at bat. I mean, Glaber came really close to that go ahead grand slam. Judge had his opportunity. Stanton, 0-for-6 is fucking brutal. But to me, you know, they scored 7 runs, and it comes down to Rodon. Yeah, it's on Sunday. Pretty simple, I think.
Yeah, it comes down to a lot of people, you know. I mean, 0-for-6 is fucking awful.
Brutal, dude.
Like I said, Judge 0-for-12 in the series.
Yeah.
Like, you know, not really deliver. And you got, I mean, you said it yesterday, like you tweeted, but you got to think about, like, when do we just start shutting everyone down?
I think if they don't sweep the White Sox, then you shut them down. The White Sox are probably the only team with a worse culture than us. I mean, they got Tim Anderson getting punched in the face. They had somebody get slapped in their hot tub room. Like, they might be the only team more chaotic than us right now.
Yeah. Yeah. What's his name? The guy who we traded for from there, Middleton. He was just like, yeah, it's chaos over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've got 3 against the White Sox, who we are definitively better than, right? We've got 3 against the Marlins, who we're pretty much the same as.
Yes.
3 against the Braves, who are dramatically better than us.
Yeah, they're the best team in the league.
And then 3 against the Red Sox, which, like, we're about the same, but they have a better manager who maybe just lit a bit of a fire under them by, you know, making a hard decision.
Yeah. Also, what are we? I think we're 1-5 against them this year. They've owned us. We got swept at Fenway.
It's bad. My wife is taking my daughters to the beach on the 19th. I don't like the beach. I don't like sand. But we went to the beach for a week, and it rained most of the week. So my daughter didn't get to build a sandcastle with her cousins, which she wants to. Her cousins are Jewish, so they've been at camp all summer. Now they're home. They're going. So I have a free day. I have a free day. I can do whatever the fuck I want. The Yankees are playing the Red Sox. I'm not even considering going.
Damn. Because you could easily go, right?
I do whatever I want. My wife is like, right. Take a day, wow. Do whatever the fuck you want.
Damn, she's like, and you're not going.
Like, she even threw out, like, maybe go to a Yankee game.
And it's a Saturday. Wow. Yeah, no, it's bad.
Game, like, yeah.
As of now, I don't plan on not planning on heading back to the stadium this year. Obviously, look, they win a couple of games. That could change, but it's not early anymore. It really feels like this is what they have. And I'll be honest, like, it felt like a funeral walking out of that stadium yesterday. It was really, really depressing.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, can we talk about the trade deadline?
Yeah, let's do that.
We did fucking nothing. Like, the worst case scenario. I didn't think we should be buyers. Some people thought we should be. Nobody thought we should sit tight with what we have. Like, nobody was just like, we should just see. As hope is not a strategy, we shouldn't just sit tight and be like, you know what? Maybe these guys will play better. And that's exactly what Brian Cashman did. And, like, nothing materialized. Like, that, it's all the same shit again and again. And, like, again, if they had sold, I would have been happy, right? If they bought, you know, and because it was like, once Otani's off the board and Soto's off the board, like, there really was, and the way, as I said in the beginning of talking about trades, Cashman always tries to fucking swoop in, cash god, laying in the weeds. That everyone good is gone by the time he starts making deals.
Yeah, he went really late. I mean, I think the first trade might have even happened in June when Chapman got traded from the Royals to the Rangers. Like, things were happening a little bit in mid-July. He always waits to the last second. And sometimes he does pull it off, like he did Sonny Gray at the last second. Not saying the trades ended up helping us, but sometimes he does execute those deals at the buzzer. Didn't happen this time. So there was a report that, like, he wanted to sell and Hal vetoed it. Are you buying that, or do you think that's like damage control after the fact?
I mean,
apparently, like, Bader, Wandy, Torres, he had deals lined up for all of them.
And Hal just said, no, let's just hold on to him and sit here. So there is listen, Hal Steinbrenner is an awful baseball owner. From a, like, owner standpoint of spending, great, but, like, understanding baseball or anything like that, like, I just don't think he's interested in it.
No, not at all.
And that's where, like, if Brian Cashman, if you have this lifetime deal, pretty much, that's when you have to stand up to him and just say, like, Hal, listen, this is what it is. This is the plan. Like, because if you just go, hey, I'm going to sell these guys, I can see, like, all right, and what are we going to get? And, like, what's the game plan? And I just don't think there's a game plan. Like, what are we going to do after that? And I just don't think there was one, because Brian Cashman isn't good at his job.
No, and I mean, again, I talked about this last week, but you had a golden opportunity to sell high on Torres. You haven't really been able to sell high on everybody. Everybody else has either literally been like DFA'd, non-tendered, you get nothing, whether it's a Sanchez, whether it's a Clint Frazier and Duhar, you've literally got nothing for these guys. You finally have a guy that miraculously had a good couple of months, and you know, you can sell high, and the Marlins really want him, and you hold on to him. And they're going to sell him low at some point, whether it's this offseason or the next trade deadline. To me, that was the worst one. Like, I understand you weren't going to get anything of value for 2 months of Bader or 2 months for Peralta, but Glaber was the one guy that actually had some value.
I think you could have gotten something. You could have gotten more than the nothing you'll get when they made you walk.
Yeah.
You know, give me a fucking win for life scratch off. It's still a better chance. Then going into it saying, like, well, you know, at least we've got Bader to get us through this. And, like, Bader's not a bad player.
No.
And if
he doesn't get it, though.
If you want Bader, he's from the – you can re-sign him. Like, he would always give you the time of day. You could even on the way out, hey, Harrison, you know, you see where she's going. We want to put you in a position where, you know, you can compete this year. You know, hopefully we can be in touch in the offseason. That's it.
That's what they did with Chapman. They traded him in 16 and then they re-signed him and they talked to him when he was heading out the door. So yeah, that is possible. Really, man, another disappointing week. I just, like, I can't believe it's August fucking 8th or 9th or whatever. And we're sitting here and wondering, like, what's going to happen this winter? Who's going to, it's like, it's insane to me that we're at this point.
I just don't even know, like, what's going to happen. What is going to happen this winter? Like, what is going to happen? So we are looking at coming into next year with Cole, Nestor, Rodon.
Schmidt. Yeah, Montas is gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Schmidt, I guess. We still have him.
Yeah.
So that's a fucking shitty rotation.
Need two starters at least.
Yeah, at least. And, like, Rodon sucks right now. Like, there's nothing that tells me, like, oh, Rodon, you know, Rodon's going to slide right into that number two.
And nothing even tells me he'll make it through next spring training.
Yeah, like, he could, but there's no, like, I just need a data point, and I don't have one.
No.
So for that to happen is just, like, that's awful. We don't have a center fielder. Our DH can't run 180 feet. He also can't hit. So that's the H part. So that's an issue. Our star player is 280 pounds. With lower body problems somewhat often. We still don't have a left fielder. Our left fielder is a shortstop, and he's not a shortstop. He's a third baseman. We don't have a third baseman. Our second baseman should be traded. We don't have a catcher. I guess, yeah, we got Trevino. I mean, we still have him under control. But,
well, he just had wrist surgery.
Yeah. Like, this sucks. This is, like, that's why trading guy and just getting, like, something into the system would have been good. At least would have shown the fans that there's some kind of, like, plan. There, like, even if you don't tell me what the whole plan is, if you start selling, I go, all right, I know what they're doing. We're going to rebuild. It's going to be good. But, you know, what the fuck is the point right now?
No, you're right. And there's really no, if they fall a few more games out of it, nobody's going to tune in every night to watch DJ and Stan go 0-for-4. In 2016, they sold and it's like, oh, I want to see the Sanchez kid. I want to see this Judge kid. I know we're not going to win this year, but there's some new blood. Now it's like you're out of it and there's no new blood. The ratings in September, I think, are going to be horrible. I mean, people will still go to the games. They have a bunch of bobblehead days and stuff, but the yes ratings are going to be horrible. At this point, again, I never root for them to lose, but you almost hope that it gets pretty bad just to see Cashman. I want to see Cashman sweat a little bit. Like, I want to see him up there after an 80-win season and not have him fall back on the, oh, the playoffs are a crapshoot. Because, bro, you didn't even get there. You didn't even really come close.
There's, like, there are only a handful of people still defending Cashman. There's still the occasional person who's like, it's Hal. Hal holds the purse strings. And it's like, what did he need? He needed $300 million? $290 million's not enough? You know, you make every bad decision. Like, every decision has gone poorly. Why would you get more?
Right. And, like, the Twins trade is the perfect example of, like, none of that worked. Nothing worked.
Nothing
worked. That was a horrible trade. He can't defend that. Like, obviously, the Rodon signing, the Judge contract already looks kind of like a disaster. Yeah, I want to see them uncomfortable. I don't think there's going to be any kind of sweeping changes. I mean, I don't know if there's anything that could happen for Cashman to get fired, realistically. Like,
I think if we miss the playoffs this year and then miss the playoffs next year, he'll be gone.
Their attendance would have to fall, too.
I think the way this year is going, we've got not a shit ton of money coming off the books. Like, some money's coming off the books.
Donaldson and who else? IKF's like $6 million. Yeah, not a lot.
Yeah. We're still paying Hicks next year.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We always talk about, they're second in the league in attendance. They're first in the American League, 41,516 a game. They're probably going to draw 3 million. They're going to draw over 3 million fans.
Yeah.
Total. Well,
I think, like, when you look at it, though, and you say, okay, now people are excited to come out, but if next year the team's, like, not competitive and we've got Judge, Cole, okay, Stanton's going to be a year older, Rodon, who knows what it is, Rizzo, I mean, in theory, there's a chance he never rebounds from this, you know, like to play at that level again. DJ is clearly not, you know, there. We're paying Donaldson $6 million to not play for us next year. Like, it is, you know, we're paying Hicks $9.5 million to play somewhere else. Like,
hit home runs against us.
Yeah. I mean, and then, like, there's times where it's like, Canley's not available unless it's extra innings.
Well, that was what I wanted to, again, I had that written down. Like, come on, man. If not today, then when? Like, this, it's just so irritating. Like, these guys can't go back-to-back days. It's a joke. King, same thing. Like, they can't pitch 2 days in a row.
Yeah. No, I mean, guys that we still have, like, control over, Nick Ramirez, Greg Allen, Jake Bowers, Volpe, Brito, Ian Hamilton, Peraza. Like, it is, it's fucking tough, man. It is, the outlook is not great because, you know, like I said, we already have $189 million committed.
That's tough.
Without going to anybody's arbitration or anything. So, like, that's not Glaber. Like,
right.
Within that, you still have to get Glaber a contract, Clay
Holmes,
Clay Holmes a contract, Loaisiga, Higgy, Nestor needs to get paid, Trevino, Mike King, Clark Schmidt, there are some guys who we will have for cheap that are, like, pre-arbitration, like Peraza or Volpe, but some of these guys it's going to take some money to keep them. So realistically, like, just going through that exercise, what are we at, 225, 230 before, with not a full, like, rotation or infield or a closer?
Yeah, and need a couple of pitchers. You mentioned Volpe better get off to a hot start in 2024. He's going to have a lot of pressure on him out of the gate.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has done a, like, serviceable job. He's obviously not going to finish, you know, in the top three in rookie of the year. So there is a little bit of, like, should we have kept him down? You know, I'm sure there are some people saying that. I think it was the right move to call him up. He did buy an apartment on Central Park West. So, like, good for him. He's sticking around. $2 million co-op.
Oh, he got, I'm sure he got a pretty big signing bonus because he was a first round pick.
Well, yeah. I mean, he also probably has endorsement deals and, you know, you're financing that. He's not, you know, paying interest rates are pretty high, but who knows? Yeah, he's at Central Park West and 69th Street.
Nice. You got it. You got a source on that.
Yeah. Upper, I love upper. I love the upperwestside.com. But yeah, I mean, Volpe's hitting, he's hitting 210. That's got to be 280. It's got to be 280.
Yes, yes. No, exactly. Exactly.
Like, he's got 14 home runs. He's got 20 stolen bases. I feel like he had 13 at the end of the first week of the season.
Like, right, that's yeah, really he had, yeah.
But it's also because he's batting 210. He's either hitting a home run or he's not on base.
Yeah, no, he just – bat-to-ball skills have not been there. He really swings for the fences. Like, when he was up yesterday and the bases loaded, we were hope, like, me and my dad were sitting there like, oh, I hope he gets hit because – or walks because he's not going to get a hit. And he did get hit, but you just know he's not. He doesn't put consistent wood on the ball. Same thing with Stanton. It's like the occasional home run, but he's just not consistently putting the ball in play, hitting line drives.
Yeah. Stanton knocks the shit out of the ball when you take the blindfold off him.
Do you think they shed any, like, do you think they try and dump DJ this offseason, eat half the money, or try to see if the Dodgers will take Stanton, or do you think it's just going to be run it back?
I don't know. I mean, I think you're in a position where you can get, for the right, like, location and stuff, you can get Stanton to waive his no trade.
Like, tell him we're going to rebuild maybe, or like kind of
listen. Hey, yeah, we're going to rebuild. We got an offer to get you to the Dodgers. And it's like probably like only the Dodgers that would get it done.
I think so, too. I don't think he would go to the Angels.
No, not if Ohtani leaves. And if Ohtani stays, Stanton's not what they need.
Nope. Oh, and before everybody, I know there's going to be some sort of report in November, December that says the Yankees might be considering Ohtani. If the Yankees sign Ohtani, I will be as stunned as I've ever been stunned. I would just forget about that right now. I don't think there's any way that Hal is writing a $500 million check.
If Judge got $40 million a year, what do you think Ohtani's worth realistically? 50?
60, 50, between 50 and 60. I think he will get over 500 million total.
You think he'll get like 10 years, five something?
I think they might spread it out because the luxury tax thing make it like 11, 12 years. You got to remember, like, the merchandise is going to like almost pay for itself in some ways. So it's a good investment.
I saw a meme that was like, grandfathers watching their kids cheer, grandfathers who served in World War II watching their kids wear an Ohtani uniform. I thought that was funny. Yeah, I mean, it's, listen, we're gonna keep playing the games. We're gonna be here every week talking about them. It's depressing right now. It's like there's a real lack of motivation to go to games. Go to minor league games. I went to a Wilmington Blue Rocks game.
Yeah, how was that?
It was fun. It was, we went on a Friday. It was they were playing the Hudson Valley Renegades, which like wasn't planned. It was just, I try to like every other Friday, like do something with my wife and kids of just like, let's just do something other than just come home and go in the pool. And so it was scout night. So it was a good sized crowd. But when I was looking, you can like pick your seats, like down the right field line, like the last four sections, nobody was in those at all. So I got my seats front row, end of it. You know, they've got the netting that goes almost all the way down. First inning, I don't know, second batter, foul ball off the netting. Right fielder comes over, hey, can I get it for the kid? Boom, there you go. One daughter's got one. Guy throws another foul ball, throws it over the netting. It goes, I see another kid like going to get it. My 1.5-year-old doesn't need a ball. It makes his kid's day. So I get that, bounce it to a kid, couple sections over. Then I just like get another one for my 1-year-old. By the time I left at like the sixth inning, end of the sixth inning, there were 20 kids behind me. Like every kid migrated down to there. Like, oh, that's where you get the foul balls. But that's why I went there early, because it's not like my kids are going to compete with like all these older kids.
Yeah.
So like they each got a ball. That was happy. Food, very reasonably priced. Tickets. I mean, I had front row seats, so I splurged and paid $17 a ticket.
Oh, big shot over here.
You know? So, yeah, no, I mean, it was a cool experience. My kids really liked it because, you know, you go, you get a ball that, you know, they don't know what's going on. They got to eat chicken fingers, french fries, get a couple sips of a Coca-Cola, got a baseball to go home.
I think there's a Chickies and Pete's at that place. I went there when I went to there Delaware because it's like, yeah, yeah.
We there
went
is. Once. It was like right behind me. That their line like goes around.
I bet. Yeah, we did like one of those frat outings on like a Tuesday night. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, like they stadium. Do, you know, like the attendance is so low. Like I did the 50-50 on Friday. They do a drawing Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then there's a Tuesday through Thursday 50-50. Like,
oh.
They don't even get enough to do that. I'd go again. Like, you know,
yeah.
If for some reason I was off on like a weeknight, like I would definitely go again. It was a good time. Easy to get to. Yeah, go to minor league games. Bring your kids to that.
I'm like 45 minutes from Somerset. I think that would be my closest one. So maybe I'll give that a shot. Can't be any less exciting than the Yankees. And it is like a cool, wholesome, like intimate experience. Like everything, you're closer. The security's nicer. Everything's easier. Yeah.
I mean, I got my tickets online. I had them, you know, like where they can scan them, whatever. Yeah. No one scanned anything. I just showed. It just goes, oh, yeah, you got more? You got tickets? Yeah, sure. That was it. There was awesome. No electronic device. It was just, you got tickets? All right, cool. Go nuts.
Could have said not like our security, you know, trying to stop me from bringing in sunscreen.
Yeah, can we talk about what was going through your mind when you were like, let me at the Yankees and let them know that they need to do a better, like, enablement job? Like, how angry were you? Like, you are... I get like you're bothered by that situation because like you are terrified of the sun because you are alabaster white.
Thank you.
So like getting that, like I understand where that's a headache, but to then 4 hours later just be rage tweeting on the fucking train. I was damn. I was like, they've killed my boy. They broke Nick's spirit.
I was upset. You know why I was upset? Because not that I've always been the best rule follower, but I know the fucking rules at Yankee Stadium. I know what you're allowed to bring in. I know what you're not allowed to bring in. It's a 90 degree day. It's a day game. My seats aren't covered. Like I need the sunscreen. You know, this isn't like I'm not doing this for fun. And the rule is if it's in lotion and it's not an aerosol can, you're allowed to bring it in. This guy didn't know the rules. And you know what? Maybe it'll help somebody else out. But no, you're right. If they won, I wouldn't have. Like that's just. That's how it goes. Like, you're just mad. Like, I'm just throwing shit at the wall at that point.
I know. I'm just picturing you and your dad on the train, and you're just like, I'll fucking show them.
Oh, man. And then,
but, dude, like, if your dad knew you were tweeting at the Yankees about sunscreen, he'd be depressed. He'd be like, well, I failed a little bit here.
It was a dark – we met the original train we were going to get on was canceled, which is really – it was just like a disaster of a – You know, sometimes you have a nice experience at the stadium. I mean, it was fun. It's always fun to go up there, but you know, when shit just goes wrong, like that kind of day on and off the field.
Yeah, we're going to have to, we just got to build up the Kirby men like confidence in driving a car to the Bronx, and then it's not as bad.
anything else? It's a tough one.
No, I mean, listen. We're not having a great time. We're not having a great time. They're playing the White Sox. I don't know. Maybe I'll check in, you know. But just to see, like, it really sunk in that I was just like, I'm a Saturday where I can do whatever the fuck I want. It's late August. The Yankees are playing the Red Sox. They're within a game of each other at the wrong end of the standings. So I'm not going. Like you were saying, everything is like, oh, there's a battle for first place.
Oh no, back in the day, back in like April, you would have had that series circled like end of August. Oh, also by the way, my dad did know that. I told him I was tweeting at the team. We were on the same page there.
All right, your mom listens to this, right?
Sometimes. Sometimes, yeah.
Did your husband cry when he got home? Did he come home and go, I have two daughters now? Probably. I think that's all we got. Follow Nick on Twitter and Kirby NYY. He's taking care of all security issues at Yankee Stadium now. It's a sunscreen enthusiast handle now. You can follow me at JJ from the Bronx. I don't know, man. Maybe we'll see it at a game. Maybe we'll see it at some parade. I don't know. I'm going to Sesame Place on Friday. So
that's right near me.
So I'll be at that parade at 3 o'clock.